The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We read in Sacred Scripture this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, reading the first 30 verses. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyest them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Thus far we read the Holy Inspired Scripture this morning. It's on the basis of 2 Chronicles 20 and all of God's Word that we find the instruction of Lord's Day 52, considering only this morning question and answer 127, which explains the sixth and final petition of the Lord's Prayer. As we read question and answer 127, notice that the entire Lord's Day speaks of warfare, which is the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, could and did the Old Testament saints, think of a man like Jehoshaphat, pray this prayer for power in spiritual warfare? Well, of course, they did. Even as we are, a man like Jehoshaphat was so spiritually weak in himself that he could not stand a moment. And even as we have, so Old Testament saints had 3 mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and their own sinful flesh. And even as we do, the Old Testament saints like Jehoshaphat prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit in their spiritual warfare till at last they obtain complete victory. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is not that we in the New Testament have spiritual warfare, but in the Old Testament, they did not have spiritual warfare, only physical warfare. That's not true. They had spiritual warfare. The difference is that Israel's warfare against Satan and evil and the kingdom of darkness and the gates of hell was not only spiritual with faith and prayer, but it took a physical form also with swords and shields and spears and carcasses and blood and smoke. When we read of warfare, when we read in the Old Testament of many different battles and slaughters on the battlefield, it's important for us to understand that these physical battles were for the kingdom of God and the cause of His covenant. And they depict the spiritual warfare that rages yet today. So this morning when we read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and read of Moab and Ammon coming to assault Judah, we have to read of spiritual Moab and spiritual Ammon coming to assault us. And Jehoshaphat's prayer is our prayer. Our Lord teaches us this is our prayer. Say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is to say, as the Catechism explains, give to us the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Lord's Day 52, question and answer 127 under the theme, seeking power over our enemies. Noticing three things. First of all, power needed. Second, power sought. And third, power given. Jehoshaphat and Judah needed power over their enemies. After Jehoshaphat had been rebuked for going with wicked Ahab to Ramoth-Gilead to fight Syria, chapter 18, and after he brought a reformation to Judah and God brought peace and prosperity, chapter 19, we learn in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 of a formidable foreign invasion of the children of Moab and Ammon who had joined an alliance and were coming against Judah. Also, we learn from verse 10 that Ammon and Moab were joined by Mount Seir, which is a reference to the Edomites. So we have this triumvirate of old antagonists, Moab, Ammon, and Edom, all coming together against Judah. So that verse 2 says there is a great multitude, and verse 12 says that there was a great company. Now, according to verse 2, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2, the enemies were already at Engedi. The Dead Sea separated Israel on the west, Judah on the west, from Moab on the east, and Engedi was a city just within the borders of Judah on the western side of the Dead Sea. And some watchmen came running to Jerusalem to tell Jehoshaphat, Moab and Ammon are setting up an attack against us, and they're at Engedi. And so understandably, with this great company coming, verse 3 says that Jehoshaphat feared. He was troubled. He and Judah needed power over the enemy, Moab, Ammon, and Edom. He and Judah needed the power of the Holy Spirit to resist the devil in this and to keep faith in God. And we stand this morning right where Jehoshaphat and Judah stood. We need the power of God over our enemies. The Heidelberg Catechism explains that we have three mortal enemies. First, we have Satan. Satan is that wicked, fallen angel who rebelled against God and took many other angels with him and is now called the tempter because he goes through the world tempting That's his work. He tempts. That is, he tries to get people to sin because he wants people to turn against God. He's real. He began his work in the beginning when he led the instigation of the fall of Adam and thus the whole human race into sin. He came to Job and he tried to destroy the faith of Job in God by seeking authorization from God to orchestrate all kinds of calamity and affliction and loss so that Job would curse God. He provoked David to pride so that David numbered all of his troops and took great confidence in what his hand had established as the king. He took captive the soul of Judas Iscariot and led him to betray our Lord and then to commit suicide. He filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira so that they lied against the Holy Ghost when they lied to God's office bearer, Peter. Satan is our enemy. And he seeks the ruin of us and our children and our marriages and our homes and our church fellowship and our pastors and our pulpits and our consistories and our schools and our churches and our friendships and our commitments to God. He seeks the destruction of our faith and our hope and our confidence and our contentment and our joy and our praise of God. That is, every good thing that we have received from God, Satan seeks to take it away. But more than that, he wants to turn every single one of us against God, to blaspheme the name of God, to have evil thoughts against God and desires for sin which God hates. Satan is our enemy. The Catechism mentions in the second place that our enemy is the world. The world refers to all wicked men and women who live out of the inner principle of corruption and who produce unfruitful works of darkness as a race that is alienated from God, hostile to Jesus Christ, His church, and gospel, and led by its prince, Satan. The world is our enemy. The world tempts us with its riches and its lifestyles and its philosophies and its seductive women and its charming men and its dirty, foul, profane language and its music, and its dance floors, and its movies, and its filthy, soul-contaminating internet content, and its loose morals, its disdain for all authority, its carefree attitude toward the Sabbath. Satan uses the world and our exposure to the world, which is greater than it's ever been in the history of the world, as all that can be attractive to our sinful flesh can be right at our fingertips. Satan uses the world and our exposure to the world to try to lure maybe just one or two or three, but hopefully all of us away from God, away from His church, away from His truth, away from His gospel, away from the Bible, away from holy living, away from the promise we made at confession of faith, that the truth that is confessed in this church, we believe it to be the truth of God's Word. And we will embrace it. And we will refute all doctrines repugnant thereto. And we will walk in a new and holy life. That's my confession. That's your confession. And Satan is after it through the world to try to draw us away. Now the world surrounds us with its honeycomb lips of seduction and all kinds of subtleties, but it will be only a little while before the world bears its fangs and spits out its venom and hatred in the persecution of us, in the persecution of the church that is faithful to God and that says, all men are sinners and you must repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And for that, the church will die. When Jehoshaphat heard about Moab and Ammon's attack, the enemies were already inside the border. Has the world established a foothold in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our homes, the way we raise our children, our school, our church, all of our activities? We need to be vigilant and like the watchmen who are out there at the borders near the fenced cities and who come tell Jehoshaphat what Jehoshaphat can't see from his palace in Jerusalem, and that is the world's already established a foothold in our kingdom. They're not at the heart yet, but they're already in Engedi. The world is our enemy. And then finally, the Catechism teaches us that our enemy is our own flesh, our sinful nature, our inclination by nature to hate God and our neighbor. And we all know this is the greatest enemy. Jesus lived here. Jesus faced the devil. Jesus was surrounded by the world, but Jesus never sinned. They could not lead him into sin. But we live here with the devil and the world, and we are led into sin because we have an ally of those enemies right within us, our flesh. It wants to be tempted. It wants to sin. It hates God and the neighbor. Three. The Catechism teaches we have three mortal enemies, and they cease not to assault us. A mortal enemy is an enemy who only has one goal, and he will not stop fighting until he's accomplished his goal, and his goal is death. These mortal enemies will not stop fighting you and me until our souls have apostatized unto spiritual death, or are taken to heaven so that the enemies can't fight us anymore. They will not stop. Like the Moabites, the Edomites, the Ammonites, Satan, the world, and our flesh will never come seeking peace with us. They come to destroy us, and the relentless assaults are daily. Didn't we sing that in Psalter 166? Against us sin has battled hard. And for this reason, there's really never prolonged quietness in our spiritual lives. Not here. Not until we get to heaven. Even when our heart is rejoicing in God and we put everything away and are quietly meditating on the sacred scriptures and our hearts are being lifted up on high where Christ is at God's right hand, in a moment, the devil can find a way to excite some sinful inclination, thought, or desire in our heart that quickly. Because our enemies never relent. And even when everything seems so peaceful in our relationships and there are no disruptions caused by sin, everything is going so well, all it takes is one minor incident. One little stressful situation that provokes someone to a little wrath or someone to a little fear or someone to a little jealousy, and then a hurtful word is spoken and quietly tensions escalate, and all of a sudden one or two or three or a whole bunch of people are at odds. It could happen this afternoon. Everything's quiet, everything's peaceful, and all of a sudden there's a little argument. Three mortal enemies who cease not to assault us. We are just like Jehoshaphat and Judah. We cannot stand a moment. We need power over our enemies. The power of God, the power of His Holy Spirit. Power needed. Jehoshaphat sought Jehovah's power for victory over the enemies. What makes the attack of Ammon and Moab, as recorded in 2 Chronicles 20, so instructive for us is Jehoshaphat's praiseworthy response to the report of an attack. And would to God that all of us would respond this way every time there is an attack against our faith. Really, in order to appreciate what God reveals in chapter 20, you have to go to the end of chapter 17. It was impressive. Jehoshaphat's army. Chapter 17, verse 12, Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles. Verse 13 says, he had men of war, mighty men of valor. They were in Jerusalem. And now the scripture starts naming these generals and how many soldiers were under their command. Verse 14 of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna, the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. Verse 15, Jehohanan, the captain, 280,000. Verse 16, Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shields, 200,000. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 ready, prepared for war. These waited on the king, besides those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah. Jehoshaphat had an impressive army of troops, which God gave him to use. But Jehoshaphat didn't even think of his army. He hears the report that three nations are coming in great multitude. They're already within the border. And instead of crying out to all of his generals, marshal the troops, set the battle in array, he instead, verse 3, set himself to seek the Lord. And this is what he did. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Instead of saying, grab your swords, O Israel, he said, put away your food and put on sackcloth and ashes and get down in the dust, all of you, and humble yourself before God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and confess your sins. Who's ever done that when the enemies are already within the gates of the kingdom? And how rapidly the word spread. The whole nation of Judah immediately assembled themselves together, verse 4, to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It was a kind of special worship service, a call to worship in imminent danger. And so Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation, verse 5, of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. God is a God of power. Verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And our God is a God of grace and mercy and covenant faithfulness. Verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, and then he repeats what the fathers of old have said. And now verse 10, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and all Judah's gathered there. They're listening to Jehoshaphat, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. No might. Remember chapter 17? Hundreds of thousands of soldiers. We have no might against this great company. that comest against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon Thee. We need Thee. And isn't it so touching a scene? Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. The entire helpless but yet hopeless nation of Judah stood there. There were women carrying little babies, their infants, and there were fathers holding the hands of their toddlers. All the people, even the little children, they stopped everything they were doing. They came to the special worship service. They stood before the Lord. That is, they stood before the temple, before the ark, before the priesthood, before the testimony, before the law, before the altar with its blood, which was the basis for their confidence that though they still had on their sackcloth and ashes, because they were penitent in their sins, they knew they were sinners, there was blood, which was the basis for their confidence of pardon, and that God would hear their prayer and grant them victory. They sought the power of the Lord. What a great example to us to seek Jehovah and His power, to seek Him every hour. God gives us an impressive army, an impressive array of means and instruments and tools for our personal life, for our home life, for our school life, for our church life. And God blesses our use of means. But we need more than means. We need God. And before we set our hand to any sword, trowel, or hammer, we need to humble our hearts in the dust and confess our sins and on the basis of blood plead with Him for His power. For example, a pastor and a consistory must protect God's Judah from sin and Satan and heresy, and must try to rescue those who are ensnared in sin. And God uses means, and we must be diligent in the use of means. Office bearers must always be studying, reading books, studying, taking notes, developing strategies, using sanctified judgment. But the first thing we do, and the most important thing we continue to do, is to confess our own unworthiness and inability, and seek the Lord for the power of His Holy Spirit, as Jehoshaphat did. And at the broader assemblies in the churches, when committees are formed and tasked with the responsibility of bringing recommendations concerning weighty matters that are before the churches, the way of victory is not for every man immediately to open his mouth and give all of his insights from his study, though he better have studied. But it's to humble ourselves in the dust and say, who are we? We are not worthy. We have nothing. Lord God, we need Thy power. Help us. And that's for all of us in our personal lives, in our home lives, where there's trouble, where Satan comes, where there are difficulties, even for those holding little babies in their arms like the mothers of Judah. We must be diligent in the use of the means God has given us, but the most important thing is that we stand consciously before the blood of the altar as the basis of our confidence, and we know the history of God's covenant and how He's always delivered His people. And pray to Him, and pray to Him, and keep praying to Him for His powerful Holy Spirit to give wisdom, to give confidence, to give joy, to give direction. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do this when He gave us the sixth and final petition of the model prayer, saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a prayer seeking the Lord for His power. The negative is first, lead us not into temptation. God cannot tempt. God never tempts. That is, God never tries to get someone to sin. How could he? He's holy. He hates sin. But by his sovereign providence, God can lead haughty, stubborn sinners who will not obey him. He can lead them into the hands of Satan the tempter so that they fall prey to his temptations and of their own willful choice fall into sin. And Jehoshaphat knows exactly how that goes. Just flip back a few chapters. Chapter 18, verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. You think there's a connection here? He had riches and abundance and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. He wasn't trusting in himself, in God. He was trusting in himself, and he was led into temptation, and he went and joined affinity with Ahab. We pray, sovereign God, who will never be mocked, do not, by thy providence, lead us into temptation. That's the negative, but the positive is deliver us. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from ourselves and the greatest enemy which is within, and from Satan and from the wicked world. That is, as the Catechism explains, preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in the spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously, they cease not to assault us, but constantly and strenuously may, the Christian life is hard, constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. And so our Lord Jesus taught us to do exactly what Jehoshaphat did, namely, seek the Lord for His power, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do that not only individually, but as Judah did, we come together as a congregation and we pray for power over our enemies. Power needed, power sought. And finally, this morning we consider power is given. The Lord heard the prayer of the whole nation, and for the sake of blood, He answered it, first of all, by giving to Jehoshaphat and Judah the spirit of prophecy. And notice how rapidly the Lord answered their prayer. As they were still standing there assembled, He answered their prayer. Verse 14, there came upon a certain man with a long lineage in the covenant, even a son of Asaph, the spirit of the Lord, so that he could say, trust. Verse 15, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou king Jehoshaphat. He's even talking to the king. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. It's not of your wisdom and your power and your strength. The battle's not yours, but God's. Trust Him. Here are your directions. Tomorrow go down against them. And He tells them exactly where to go. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. To interpret that, you will be spectators in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And verses 18 and 19 tell us that Jehoshaphat and the people, they bow down in fear before the Lord, and they rejoice with fervent joy. They were scared, but now they are confident. Even the little children with them, they're confident. The spirit of prophecy has worked in them the confidence of faith in the God to whom the battle belongs. So the second thing God does in answer to their prayer is give them deliverance. Verse 20, and they arose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this, it really all boils down to this. Believe. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And verse 20 says that Jehoshaphat took to battle his choir. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And he takes his choir that they can sing doxologies to God and keep strengthening the faith of all of the people. In verse 22, and they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Soam, so on, so that the enemies fought against themselves and they destroyed themselves. Verse 24, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. It's unimaginable. Not one Moabite escaped. Not one Ammonite. Not one Edomite. They were all killed. And not one person of Judah had so much as a scratch. You think of the three friends coming out of the fiery furnace. They didn't even smell like fire smoke. No casualties. Not one person had a drop of blood on them. They were only spectators. Verse 25, and Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them they found among them in abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. For 3 days they were gathering heap after heap of jewels and riches to carry back home to Jerusalem. And 26 through 30 tells us of their great celebration, their thanksgiving, their fervent joy in God, and how there was rest in the land. The power was given. Now, doesn't this history inspire you and me to find our power through prayer and through singing? That is, to find our power through trusting in God for deliverance? Faith. 1 John 5, verse 4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Victory comes by faith. By faith in God, that is, by faith in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was there a battle that looked a lot like 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The battle between Judah and the triad of old antagonists. Go back to the cross. From a visible point of view, all that could be seen of the kingdom of God was a lowly, suffering servant bleeding and dying on a tree. A few disciples running away and some women standing at a distance. That's the kingdom of God. And yet 3 days later, Jesus came back from the dead with spoils, with victory. And what did we do? What did you do at the cross? We are mere spectators, like the women at a distance. All we do is stand and behold. Is there any sorrow like unto his sorrow? We do nothing. And he accomplishes the victory, and by faith we rush in and grab all the riches that Christ earned for us by blotting out our transgressions. We gather up all the riches and off we go, heap upon heap. Beloved, if God gave us the great victory of the cross, how shall he not with Jesus Christ freely give us all things? The victory is ours. seek the Lord by faith and you experience joyful victory over your enemies, even when victory seems impossible, even when it's 3-1, even when the enemy has already gained a foothold in the camp of your own soul or your home or your church. Victory belongs to the Lord and He will give it. He will give victory over all the heresies and errors and false doctrines that threaten His church. He will give victory over the devil and all of his attacks to destroy the faith of us and our children. He will give victory for us over all the allurements of the world. Again, go back to Lord's Day 1, which is our only comfort. Not one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ shall ever be lost in battle. We are with the Lord now and forever. And we will have the victory because He goes before us, conquering and to conquer our mortal enemies. The battle belongs to the Lord. Pray, trust, believe, have confidence in God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank Thee for history, and the sacred history of the Bible is always a revelation to us of Thy boundless grace, Thy unfailing mercy, and Thy saving love, which is Thy power to usward, that we may have victory over our own enemies. Give us victory and give us faith, which is the power whereby we overcome the world. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.